Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What really happened with the SmackDown hacker? We'll talk about it in a bit. Plus, some unusual challenges for Cody and a baby that's got all the smoke. For Friday, July the 10th, 2020, this is your Cultaholic Wrestling News.
Are you watching?
Cover by Tamina. Hook the leg on Banks, and Tamina has earned a championship opportunity. Hour of Big E and a big ending to win the gold. Hook of the leg on Miz. Is it enough here?
Are you listening?
We should be focusing on our tag team title match next week against Nikki and Alexa.
Because I am. The thing about anger is you can always hear it.
The enigmatic SmackDown hacker. Remember them? Big part of the build to WrestleMania and beyond was the SmackDown hacker. We never found out the identity of that person who had all that information, all those cameras dotted around the Performance Center, monitoring some of the baddies and the goodies of the wrestling world. We had some indication, some possible rumor and innuendo that the person behind the SmackDown hacker shenanigans was Mustafa Ali. Turns out that we were right, but he has now moved to Raw before the story could be concluded. There's several sources that suggest that Mustafa Ali was moved to Monday Night Raw at his request, as he was tired of being ignored by Bruce and Ed, the writers for SmackDown. Of course, now Bruce is writer across both of Raw and SmackDown. So that's, he kind of ran away only to have Bruce find him again, if that is indeed the case. Mustafa Ali was very much meant to be the person behind the SmackDown hacker storyline, but he very much felt like he was stuck in limbo as he waited for this story to wrap up, and it never really did. So if you enjoyed the stuff, the GTV throwback that was the SmackDown hacker storyline, so there's nothing to say that they won't bring it back as part of Monday Night Raw, but it certainly feels like for now that is the end of it. We were hoping to have live crowds back at WWE shows in time for SummerSlam. That is now not going to be the case, we understand, and new plans are being put forward for fans to return to WWE programming. WrestleVotes tweeted out the following. Being told, with SummerSlam off the table, WWE is now aiming for the end of September as a restart for live audiences. This is to be determined. Now, in September, WWE has Clash of Champions, which is on the 20th. So potentially looking to bring fans back by the 20th of September now. But this is obviously very loose and fast. Whilst we really want to believe that we're kind of coming at the back end of this coronavirus stuff, we know that Melbourne in Australia has just gone into 6 weeks of lockdown 2.0. Send our best to those who are in Melbourne right now for another 6 weeks of self-isolation for many. So we're certainly not out of the woods with it, and we're taking it day as it comes. I mean, I'm excited for the time where this all gets back to normal, but we need to do it in the safest way possible.
At the horror show at Extreme Rules, very simple. Ojo por ojo. Eye for an eye. You damaged my eye and then went after my son's eye. I'm willing to take it a step further and pull your eye out with my bare hands.
Just an excuse to play that again, I'm afraid. Not even sorry. Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins, eye for an eye at the horror show at Extreme Rules. And we've got an indication as to how that match is going to look. They mentioned that the stipulation would literally be the winner is the one who pulls the other person's eye out. And it looks as if they're going to actually double down on this. So Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week says that the next cinematic match that we will see will be at the horror show at Extreme Rules, as well as the swamp match between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. The eye for an eye match will be pre-taped and will feature, apparently, CGI effects to simulate the eye being pulled out as the finish. Now, when they suggested, like, the match was ojo per ojo, my concern was it would be like an animatronic eye that just sort of wriggles along the floor. Turns out it's going to be possibly CGI. No pun intended. I'm, you know what? It's 2020. Weirder things have happened this year than a man having his eye pulled out of his socket during a wrestling match. So I'm going into it open-minded. You could say I'm going into it with both eyes open. And that is exactly what I will say. In terms of the ratings for Wednesday night, NXT wins the second week of the Great American Bash. NXT on its possibly on its best roll yet in terms of beating AEW in the ratings. This is how it goes down. NXT on the USA Network, averaging 759,000 viewers compared to AEW Dynamite 715,000 viewers. Just a bit down for both parties compared to last week. Still 1.4 million people watching wrestling, which is great, but it's another win for NXT, who seem to be, as I say, on probably the biggest roll they've been on since the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars. Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler were guests on Inside the Ropes just the other day, and they talked about their appearance on the Jim Cornette podcast. They say, we did the podcast, and the next day, AEW management were so mad at us because we did the podcast, and that's okay with us. We don't care. If we made friends, we make friends. And if we made a few, and we've made a few, rather, if they want to get mad at us because we're trying to make AEW a better place and make it more money, then we welcome that. A lot of animosity backstage for FTR making an appearance on Jim Cornette's podcast. Cornette's a bit of a lightning rod, isn't he? So I can see where the frustration would come from. Also, Matt Hardy spoke to Sportskeeda about his time in AEW and says he has been thrilled with his experience so far. He says, I honestly can't say enough good things about it. I wanted to pick up where we left off with broken Matt Hardy. And I did a little story that segued into that, which is free the delete. It's on my YouTube channel right now. There is a new version of Matt Hardy coming to AEW. That's what we talked about. And once I started from the jump, my plan was to do different versions of my personas throughout time as the multifarious Matt Hardy. Ultimately, my goal is to lead into something new, something to put together into one entity, and have that be the next persona that I want to get over and run with. You can tell that Matt Hardy is certainly having a lot of fun as part of All Elite Wrestling so far. And long may it remain. PW Insider have given us a few details on the FTW title that turned up at Fyter Fest Night 2. Now, on the shoulder and around the strapping waist of Brian Cage, courtesy of Taz, the report from PW Insider notes that ECW never actually owned the title, hence why its ownership never transferred over to WWE. Taz himself is the one that designed, created, and owns the belt, so he can take the property as and where he wants. He also holds the copyright on the design, which basically means he can do whatever he wants with it, even bringing it to AEW. Chris Jericho on his Instagram has been speaking very highly of Orange Cassidy. He put out a picture from the match he had at Fyter Fest Night 2 with the caption, hashtag Jericho versus Orange, one of my favourite matches of my career. Orange Cassidy did good, just not good enough. See you around, kid. There will be no rematch. If you haven't watched Cassidy versus Jericho yet, take time this weekend to watch it. It's very good. Rob Van Dam was interviewed by High Times, which is a newsletter all about smoking weed. Obs. RVD recalled an interaction he had with Stephanie McMahon in 2001, where Steph said, "If you're going to get high, at least be discreet about it." This is recalled by RVD, who said that he would continue to advocate the positive benefits of marijuana to anybody backstage who he would speak to. And Steph said, "Look, just if you're going to do it, just do it, you know, quietly." He would obviously get caught with marijuana in 2006, which would lead to the end of his WWE and ECW championship reigns. Van Damme says it all went downhill very fast. No trial, no nothing. It was way better before I got busted. When I came back, I was going downhill fast, so it was the ultimate destruction. Nowadays, obviously, laws have changed about cannabis. WWE continues to change its policies about cannabis, and something that Matt Riddle, I'm sure, may be very aware of, as it's something that he's been known to imbibe in as well. And there's a lot of jokes that are made on TV about Matt Riddle's habit. Now, over the past month, we have seen War Horse, the IWTV independent wrestling champion, constantly tweeting Cody and challenging him for a shot at his TNT title. Cody's never acknowledged these challenges by War Horse, but he has now. So it was during a Q&A where somebody messaged Cody and asked him whether Eddie Kingston could be a future challenger for the TNT Championship. Responded to that by saying, "I'll say this, Arn TK and QT Marshall pinpoint the challengers for the open challenge. And against the wishes of those not wanting to reward folks going into business for themselves, I am considering him and the other one who rules my mentions." Obviously a reference to Warhorse and his penchant for ruling ass. This surely confirms Warhorse is getting himself a shot at the TNT title. I'm crossing all things. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson have been getting themselves set for August the 1st. Talking Shop-a-Mania is going to be their wrestling independent show. And a few stills have emerged, courtesy of Pro Wrestling Sheet, that show Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson dressed as Chad Too Bad and Sex Ferguson fighting on top of a messy graffitied hearse. Carl Anderson played Chad Too Bad on WWE's online show, Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Gallows also appears to be dressed as Sex Ferguson, which is a character that he portrayed on the independent circuit. You did see him as part of Southpaw when he rebranded as Tex Ferguson, which is a bit more WWE friendly. Also, Anderson shared a video showing the location for the shoot. Looks a bit like a mock graveyard. We've got a hearse there, some other random objects, and a large rubber chicken that makes a noise when you push its stomach. I, for one, am incredibly excited about Talking Shop-a-Mania. And finally, we congratulate Grace Russo and Angelo Dawkins, who welcome a son to planet Earth. Dawkins took to Twitter to share some photos of the new arrival with the caption, "Welcome to the fam, little homie. Officially a baby that has the smoke." It's no less than a day old. Congratulations to Grace and Angelo welcoming a new one into the world. You can see the pictures on their Twitter right now. Absolutely adorable. What a lovely way to end the week. Lovely way to end the week. That'll do it for your Cultaholic Wrestling news for today. Apologies if the podcast sounded a little bit different. Full disclosure, microphone cable broke before I started recording. So this is what my backup mic sounds like. If you've wondered why it sounded a bit different, that is exactly why. On the Cultaholic podcast over the weekend, brand new episode of the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. It is myself, Justin Henry, and Photoshop John Eiley all getting together to watch the Go Home Monday Night Raw for Survivor Series 1994. Next week on the podcast feed, we have a brand new, brand spanking new watch along for the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. Myself, Justin Henry, and Matthew Gregg are watching WrestleMania 2000, and you can watch along with us on the Cultaholic YouTube channel later today. It's a brand new episode of the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. Matthew Gregg, Jack, and Ross getting together to talk about the wrestling stories of the week. And of course, as you get over the weekend as well, the SmackDown graded episode with Sound Driver will land on Saturday morning as well. If you're watching SmackDown tonight, maybe grade along. See how he grades tomorrow morning. I will speak to you next week. Don't forget to join us. I love you. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.